Just so you know, if the word of God is being heard in the heart, it should generate question. It should. And not about your feelings. You understand what I'm saying? Not about your emotion. It should generate questions through your angel. And what the angel is perceiving in you because of the fruit from the Word of God. So if the Word of God is the seed, amen, and the seed bears fruit, the fruit is perceived by your angel as the Son of God, what are you seeing? What are you partaking? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? That's how it's supposed to work. So, we know that there's, as a son, the angel of the Lord is who speaks to our church. So, doesn't the Bible say that you are the church? So, do you have an angel? So, in the book of Revelation, then, let the Spirit, let the churches hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Correct? So, who's speaking it then? The angel. So, it's not about, I mean, it's important to come and fellowship the Word of God here. Don't take me wrong in that, in those things. But you are the church. You are the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about you physically. I'm talking about who you are because of the Word of God being spoken into your world, right? I was thinking last night, we were driving home, and I was in some heavy thinking. Because when the Word of God, if the Word of God is Jesus, how many think the Word of God is Jesus Christ? Right? The Bible says it is, correct? So, when the Father spoke Jesus Christ into existence, what did he say? Well, because if you're the Word from the beginning, correct? Isn't this what we spoke about last Sunday? If that Word from the beginning is what forms the Son in you, what did the Father say? Okay, he put you under a covenant. He put you under the covering of a covenant. We read it, correct? And under the covering of that covenant, you have great power. You have power, yes. So the problem is when we say we have great power, that power is not in the flesh. It's separate, distinct, and greater than. So when God created Jesus Christ, put him in a body of flesh, and sent him where? Where did God send us? Into the world. What world? Yeah, your world. So in your world, Jesus Christ has a body. The problem is, in our minds, when we try to form the image of that, we put him in an earth or a physical body. He's not in a... He's in the body that the Father made for him. So who can create the image of that body? Only the Father can do it. Who can manifest Jesus Christ to you? Only the Father. How does he do it? How does he do it? Well, he does it in dream and vision for sure. But what creates the dream and the vision in you? The Word of God. Hear me. So we try within ourselves to formulate the whole thing based upon what we know or understand or think in the Word of God. That's how we try to do it. And the more we do it, the more we hinder the work of God, because now we are exalting our own minds above the mind of God. So when we start talking this way, all of a sudden we're like, it kind of disposes us of that thought, and we're like, well then, Okay, so we throw our hands up in the air and we say, well, then how do I get there? Amen? But every time we gather together, isn't it spoken? Doesn't the seed go forth that brings you into how to get there? Yes, it is. So I want to read today something to you. And because we've said in times past, we've talked a lot about learning to speak as the elder speaks, right? Or learning to speak as the apostle speaks, or having the mind of the apostle, all those things, having that apostolic mind. So if the word of God's being spoken, if I'm speaking the word of God, is it creating the apostolic mind? So I can tell you that when God speaks his word, what's he creating? The apostolic mind. He's creating the mind of Christ. That's why every apostle says, I have the mind of Christ. Do you think he believes it? I don't think he just says it. I think he knows what mind he has, because that's where he walks and lives and has his being each and every moment. It's where he is. That's who he is. It's become who he is. So now he's in touch with his angel constantly. He knows the power of the angel within. Thus the word of God is the fruit of his lips. It becomes very important. So then every word the apostle says when it comes to the holiness of God, is it the truth? Should we be paying attention? It's because that word that he's speaking is what creates us in the mind of God, creates our mind to be the mind of God. So I'm going to read for you, and I want you to pay attention. And there's certain things I don't want you to labor in. Do you know what they are? Okay, I don't want you to labor in interpretation. Okay? You labor in interpretation, what are you going to do for yourself? You're going to take yourself out. So, how many of you are finding it's hard to discipline yourself to not labor in interpretation? Why? Yeah, that's because that's what you've done. Yeah. That's how you've served the Lord, right? So, it's really hard to allow to trust the Lord to the point where you allow God to be your interpreter. Who's the interpreter of everything? Does the Bible say that? Yeah. God is the interpreter. Who could interpret your parable? So God put you in a parable. So who could interpret the parable for you to know yourself? God. You mean I can only know my parable if God tells me my parable? So what happens if I try to interpret the parable for myself so that I know myself? What happens? Yeah, you defile the word of God. And what mind do you create? God's mind? Oh, the carnal mind, the enmity of God then begins to be the fruit of your thought. Mock God, man. And it would be continuous. So, If all my thought in interpretation mocks the Lord and forms the carnal mind, thus now we begin to understand the darkness or the death that we have created for ourselves. Amen. Thus when Adam, God brought to Adam all the different beasts to give them names, and Adam named them, did Adam ask God what he should name them, or did Adam just name them? And how did he do it then? How did he name them? Based upon his own perception of what he saw. Even though God was bringing him the word, did God not tell Peter in the dream when he saw the beast descend out of heaven that everything had to tell Peter? Peter said, and God told Peter, hey, eat of it. No, I don't eat. I eat nothing that's unclean. But in God's perception, everything that God had put in that sheet for the apostle to eat was what? It was clean. So God was teaching Peter in dream and vision about his own mind, teaching him how to come to repentance so that he could more clearly hear the mind of God, so that in Peter all things could be saved. Jew and Gentile could be saved. And the Father is the one that can teach us those things. When we try to teach ourselves, we fail ourselves and we fail God. That's a very important thing for us to begin to understand. So, I've said in times past, there's a lot of things that we need to forget. And we don't need the remembrance of. The Holy Ghost is going to teach us what to remember. Can you say amen to that? So whatever Jesus has taught us, the Holy Ghost is going to bring to our remembrance. And we should be thankful for that. So, when the fire of God comes, it begins to burn up the chaff. It begins to burn up the things that we have put in our own minds, called it God, but it isn't God. So that God is removing the barrier in us so that we can see who? We can see God. So, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened to the veil that caused you to be blind? Is ripped in two. It was torn in twain, right? So at that moment then, when that takes place experientially in you, what can you do when that veil is ripped in two? You can enter in. What can you enter into? The holiest of holies. You can enter into heaven itself. You can enter in and sit on the right hand of the Father. And you can hear the Word of God. That's what can happen for you. So is the cross of Jesus Christ of none effect? Or have we made it of none effect because of our perceptions of the cross? That's a big question. So in our minds, we have been so conditioned to believe that the cross of Jesus Christ was 2019 years ago, and it wasn't. It was from the beginning of the world. Amen? Christ was crucified from the foundations of the world. Let me ask you something. Whose world? This world or the one in you? See, creation for you began when you heard the Word of God. Are you with me? So when God, when the Word of God was spoken into you, who spoke it? God did. And when God spoke it by His Spirit, the Spirit said, let there be what? Light. Why did He need to say, let there be light? You were in darkness. Your mind was in complete darkness and couldn't see. So when the Spirit said, let there be light, and He divided the light from the darkness, who was revealed? We know this, come on. We know Jesus was revealed. And when Jesus was revealed, then who became known? The man of sin. Now we have said these things many times. And they became known in who? In you. So when God began to create in you, the Son, and began to distinguish the light from the darkness, was He not creating in you His own mind and making you new again? And it's only the Word that can do that for you. When was the Word put in you? From the beginning. It was put in you from the, you just don't remember. So when we say from the beginning, are we talking about the beginning of your fleshly life or the beginning of your life from the beginning in Jesus Christ? Which life are we talking about, Frankie? Who you are in the Father, which is from where? See, this is where we begin to lose it in ourselves because, well, He's talking about me. I'm going to tell you something. I am not talking about you. We are talking about, in the mind of Christ, we are talking about who you are in God and always have been from the beginning. So in the generations, Connie and I were talking about this yesterday, as a matter of fact. When we talk about Abraham, who's Abraham? He's what? Okay, he's a generation of Jesus Christ. So what is he? In you, what's Abraham? He's a word of God. It's important for us to understand these things. Abraham is the word of God. Why was Abraham generationally spoken to us? We have it in the written scripture, right? Okay, he's the father of faith, but what does that mean to you? Okay, he's a seed. He's a seed. A seed to do what? What's a seed supposed to do? Okay, supposed to bring forth fruit. So what does it have to do to bring forth fruit? It has to die. So Abraham is in the scripture for our admonition as an example to us of what has to happen when he is spoken into our world and what he's going to produce in that seed as that seed begins to bring forth fruit. Let me ask you, that seed that's Abraham, is that seed going to raise up in you and tell you to leave your father and mother and go into a land that you don't know? Are you going to hear it, obey it, submit to it, and do the will of God? Otherwise, what are we doing to the Word of God? We're killing it, burying it. You understand what I'm saying for you this morning? So now, in the apostle's mind, when he begins to understand that the Word of God is the seed, and that seed is being spoken to bring forth fruit, what kind of fruit does the apostle know that fruit is? Now, on the tree of life, how many manner of fruit were there? 12 manner of fruit. What would those fruit do for you? Nope, they were not. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. You don't know. It'd be good to know, wouldn't it? So, it's what I'm going to tell you this morning is there are many things in the parable that we do not know and we do not understand. But in the mind of the apostle, how does he perceive it? It's understanding. All of it. All of it. So, I'm going to do some reading here for you. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And are not you my work in the Lord? Now, who's speaking here? The apostle. The apostle. Now, if he's apostolic, he's seen the Lord. And as an apostle, he knows that he is what? He is the Lord from heaven. That's what he knows. I have seen the Lord, and I am he. Now, it's really hard in a carnal or humanistic mind for us to perceive that the apostle sees himself as Jesus Christ. Because we have identified the mind of Jesus Christ as something that's not the mind of Jesus Christ, just so you understand. Because if the mind of Christ, and we're going to see it as we go on today, if we get that far, if the mind of Christ is the mind of Christ, what does he know? Everything. Thank you, Ted. I was hoping somebody was going to say that. He knows everything. Everything as pertaining to what? To him. To God, right? Everything that God is, Jesus Christ knows. Everything. So, to us then, he's all in all. Amen? So, the apostolic mind then, in perception, to us, knows what? All things. and to all men is everything. But to the carnal mind and to the flesh, listen, the carnal mind cannot receive that mind. Hear me plainly. The carnal mind cannot receive the mind of God, because the carnal mind is the what of God? The enemy of God. So even though the United States, with under dubious presidents, have sold our nuclear secrets for submarines and planes and all that stuff to our enemies, God is not going to sell out to the enemy. Hear me. That's what men do to please men. Hear me. When man tries to form a world and make it one world for all men, man fails. And he comes up with a comedy of errors to make it happen. And it doesn't work. I don't care what your perception of that is. It does not work. Man in himself cannot solve his problems. Never has been able to, and never will be able to. Man needs God, because God is eternal, and God only works in the eternities, which is forever. And the basis of who you are becoming, or God forms the basis for who you are becoming in those eternities and not in a temporal world. Are you with me? So, how many eternities has God been in you, Ellen? You don't know. Barth, how many eternities has God been in you? Don't know, but he has been there, right? So when we talk this, we only know ourselves from what we see in the mirror. So I get up in the morning, I take a shower, I stand before the mirror, and I start to comb my hair, and I go, oh my God. The hairs that I combed yesterday aren't there today. And then I have to pull my chin down to clean out the wrinkles, you know. Because I have wrinkles today that I didn't have yesterday. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. It's temporal. Not eternal. So God has to teach you eternity. Amen? So is Jesus Christ eternal? So what kind of life in salvation does Jesus Christ give you? He doesn't say that in the Bible. For God so loved the world. Right? So if I believe on Jesus Christ, I shall have eternal or everlasting life. In this body? God forbid. And to take this body into heaven? God forbid. Yet our mind wants to think that way. Let me go on. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Did you hear what he just said? So if he's the word of God, the seal of his apostleship is you in the Lord. So who are you? Are you Ellen? Or is the seal of God? The seal is of God. Doesn't he? What's the seal? The Holy Ghost. Says that in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and sealed them with the Spirit of promise. Sealed you with the Spirit of promise. Apostolically. So the seal of my apostleship is you in the Lord. So are we talking flesh to flesh? Are we talking carnal mind to carnal mind? Or are we talking about the eternities of God forming who you are as the Son of God from the beginning? What are we talking about? The Son of God from the beginning in the eternities of God. That's the only way the apostle knows how to speak, because that's the only way God speaks to you. These things are important. Let me go on. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? What's the answer to that? Yes, we do. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Oh man, he just said a mouthful there. Because if I read it, I want to interpret it in what? In the flesh. But isn't the wife and the sister an aspect of the soul? So what's he talking about? He's talking about saving the aspects of his soul and walking as brethren, even in Cephas. Who's Cephas? It's Peter. So, is he not saying that he and Peter are of the same mind? And whose mind is it? It's the mind of Christ. So the aspects of my soul, as the wife and the sister, are they not saved in the mind of Christ? Are they needed to form the mind of Christ? Oh man, aren't they ever? So what happens then if I alienate the wife and the sister, or the sister, from the aspect of my soul and don't allow it to form through the seed of the Word of God of what the necessity of it is in my soul? What if I remove it from my soul? What happens to my soul? I'm taking away from that which is God's. How have I done it? Through my own mind. My own mind. And I limit the usefulness of the Word of God as the seed to bring forth. Let me go on. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? So now, what I'm reading to you is how, who thinks? Who thinks like the way we're talking right now? The apostle. We're talking about how the apostle thinks. So who taught the apostle to forbear? The Holy Ghost, right? Because the fruit of the Spirit is forbearance, long-suffering, patience. In Galatians, the fifth chapter. So, if I'm learning how to forbear as an apostle, is that good or bad? It's good. It's good. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? So, does the apostle have a mind of his own where he can go into war against the things of the spirit, or against the carnal mind, on his own, or does he have to be sent of God? Sent. Hear me. When we chase after revelation, or when we chase after the things of God, what are we trying to do? We're trying to go into the warfare of our own charges. We're saying, I'll never forget Rick when he said, I stood before Satan, believing I could take him on, and as soon as he opened his mouth, I was consumed. The flesh was consumed. That should speak mildly to all of us forever. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? I say these things as a man. Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? So he's going to begin to speak now a parable. He's already started speaking the parable. Because under a law, am I free or am I not free? I can be free if the law is of whom? Jesus Christ, correct? So if it's the law of Christ, I'm free. And he's going to begin to speak you these things. So, one thing for sure, who has put us under a law that causes us not to be able to hear? The carnal mind, who is who? Who is he? He's Satan. He's the red dragon. He's the devil. He's Pharaoh. But the law came of who? Who gave us the law? It says Moses did. The law came by Moses, correct? God spoke to Moses, gave Moses the law. Moses gave the law to us, or to Israel. And when Israel got the law, what did it do to Israel? What did it do? What was the law given to Israel to perform? Okay, it was given to them to lead them into the promises of God and live in the promises of God forever. Was it not given to perform in them the eternities of God and teach them how God lives? Was it given to teach them the mind of Christ? But who could they not see? Christ. What's your problem? It's the same. Hey, everything I'm speaking to you this morning is to do one thing for you. One thing. And it's to teach you how to see Jesus Christ. Because no one else can save you. I mean, no one. No one else can save you. It's correct. No way you can save yourself. And yet we have tried many times, haven't we? So, now how many of you are thankful you have the Word of God called the Bible today that you can read, right? We should all be thankful. But how many of us know that we need an interpreter that has seen Christ, that sits on the right hand of the Father, that understands parables? He's a master of the mysteries of God. God hath made him so. He's a steward of those mysteries. And when he sits down to talk to you, he unfolds those mysteries to you as you need to know. Did you hear what I said? So, how many of you believe that God knows where you are at this very moment in his eternities? Hear me. If I don't get any other word into you this morning, please hear the word eternity. In God, you have always been eternal from the beginning. Always. You forgot. Did God forget? No. God did not forget. You forgot. And by the grace of God, God keeps bringing us back so that we can begin to understand the eternity of God in ourselves. Now, how many generations have I lived in order to come to this moment where I can begin to understand the eternities of God, the eternities of God in myself, to see my angel and know that I am the Son of God? I will tell you many. I had a dream, and I called Rick to tell him of my dream, and this is years ago, right? And Rick said, I had the same dream, and in that dream, God showed me how many generations back these things have been working. In my dream, I haven't gone all the way back, so to speak, in my generations, but I know that my generations go all the way back to where? To the beginning of God. That's the part we don't get. When we say beginning, it's the beginning of who? The beginning of God. Because if I'm being baptized into the body of Christ, what body am I being baptized into? The body of God from the beginning. Now that's, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I dwell on those things, that's mind-blowing. And we always think that we have control of our destiny. How many of you believe you have control of your destiny in some form or another? Right? And how many of us know that we've lost control of our destiny many times? And when we begin to understand that we've lost control of our destiny and we don't know to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, what happens to us? Oh man, I'm telling you. You want to know why a lot of people commit suicide? They can't deal with it. Well, some of them think suicide is their hope, John. And they don't know how to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And a lot of them have been raised in church. A lot of them have been given a form of doctrine. The problem with the form of doctrine is it denies the power thereof. Apostolically, they only talk in power. Because it's that power that they've been given. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that how he opened up this reading? Do you not believe that I have power? Power to do what? Oh man, I can form. I can take the word of God. I can speak it and create in you a new creation, a new world, a new heaven, a new earth. Create in me a clean heart. Wasn't that David's prayer? And renew a right spirit in me? Because only the Spirit can make the manifestation of the fruit come forth. That's it. And so, listen, we've already said many things this morning. More things than most people can think about in a day, or a week, or a month, or have even ever heard. And this is what takes place, though, when the angel of the Lord begins to speak, or the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak to the churches and begins to create right things that overcome the oughts that the Lord has in the church. So the first church, God had an ought against it because why? They lost their first love. What does it mean to lose your first love? To love something else besides God, more than God. So if you love something else more than God, what happens to God? What's the first commandment? Everyone say it with me. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and all your might. To love the Lord thy God. So if I can't even keep the first commandment, what about all the other commandments? What about the law? Is the law, even the law of Christ, going to work for me if I can't keep the first commandment? There is no, now I'm out of this foundation of God. I'm out of the structure of God. I've replaced the very thing that's going to take me in and set me on the right hand of the Father, I have denied. Did you hear what I said? The very thing that's going to take me in and set me on the right hand of the Father, I have denied. Because I love myself more. I love my life more than the life God has showed me in the eternities. That's hard for us to accept. But it is the truth. And I lie not. Amen? Oh, yes. Very much so, because darkness has overwhelmed the mind. So, I told you several months ago I had a dream, and in the dream, the darkness and the voices in it were overwhelming my mind. And I truly, in the dream, I thought I was going to die. I thought that it was going to consume my mind to the point where I could not hear God anymore. And at that very moment, Michael stood up and raised his sword. So now listen, God is God. Can you say amen? God is God. Only God is God. No matter what we try to create in ourselves or what we think we can create God to be for ourselves, only God is God. Only God can make manifest Jesus Christ in you. And when God makes Jesus Christ manifest in you, in Jesus Christ, what can be made known in you through that manifestation? The Father can. So what? But think in terms of the mind of God when He reveals His Son, Jesus, in you. Why does He do it? So you will know who you are in the mind of the Father. In the eternities of God. Not for this life. Not to be frustrated with the things of this life. Not to be swallowed up by thoughts of this life. But that the soil in your world becomes the soil of God, to where it begins to accept the seed as the Word of God, to where it can begin to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Man. Now that sounds like some good fruit, John. Because now I am growing up in the vine. Who's the vine? John 15. I am the vine. Who are you? You're the branches. So if I'm not bearing fruit, what does he do to the branch? He cuts it off, and then what does he do with it? Throws it in the fire. Is that the end of you then? I've been burned up. Maybe he's getting ready to recycle you. Can I use that word? Right? But is he talking about you as a person, as a son, or is he talking about thoughts that you have taken that are hindering you from seeing who he is? See, that's the difference in it. God bless God and his mercy that endureth forever, because his mercy does endure forever. What does forever mean? No end. But doesn't Jesus say that I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end? So what's the end? Say it again, Bryce. Becoming who God says you are. That's the end. Here's the thing. When you have that mind and have become who God says you are, and you know all things and can do all things, do you know that you are in the end? Or have you just become the beginning and the end? Huh? Which is it? You have just become the beginning and the end. Now you stand complete or perfect in Him. See, these things are important. This is why the gospel is preached. And without the preaching of the gospel that has a perfect end, without a covenant that brings you to a perfect end, you have no gospel. You preach another gospel. The perfect gospel is to set you at the right hand of the Father, who is both beginning and the end. That's why the gospel's preached. And if we see it as just a way to get to heaven, we have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to pick these things up again. I guess it'll be a week from or next Sunday. Well, you can certainly call. And I would hope that all of you would just take some time to think about what's been said and call. Praise the Lord, man. Because we are establishing, the word of the apostle is to establish in you the way back, or the way to become the sons of God. Amen.